Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm trying to elevate small talk to medium talk.
Hi, I'm Alexander Chester, and I've... People say splendid at least twice a day. It is fact.
And I'm Av Sedensky, and I am both a four-eyed fuck and a fat piece of shit.
Welcome back to Pretty, Pretty, Pretty Good, a Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast. We are here today to get ready for the season 12 premiere, which is coming just a few days away this Sunday. And we are going to do so by recapping the first 11 seasons, reminding all our listeners, how did we get to where we are now? And then diving into the very little we know about season 12 and making some predictions. But we have to emphasize, we know very little. They did not share screeners with us. So we have a trailer, we have some episode titles, that's about it. But before we get to season 12, we have to remind ourselves where the story lies, the first 11 seasons, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, this is really going to be one of those... Everything you need to know about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, we're going to start from, like, all the way from the beginning. We're going to go all the way through the trailer of season 12. And then, other than all these people on the internet who seem to have seen a bunch of episodes from the season and are writing about it, you will be the people who know the most about Curb Your Enthusiasm in the entire world.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Americans have lost complete faith in their institutions, their politicians, their priests, the policeman. But they depend on this podcast to give them advice and recommendations. We are the last bastion of trust. If they can no longer trust this podcast, then they will have nothing. So on that note... Let's dive all the way back to 1999. The special drops Larry David Curb Enthusiasm on HBO. And then the next year, 2000, we get season one. Doesn't really have a season-long story arc the way that many future seasons will. It's more about introducing us to Larry David, the wealthy co-creator of Seinfeld. He's now semi-retired, somewhat bored, hanging out in L.A. with his wife Cheryl and his best friend Jeff. We also meet his friends Richard Lewis and Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen, along with Cheryl's parents and sister Becky, who are very, very Gentile. But basically, the story of season one is Larry constantly offending people, usually unintentionally, and the hilarity that ensues.
Yeah. There's really something a little bit more, I think, cinema verite, however you say that, about season one compared to some of the later seasons. Like, it really doesn't feel like there's anything going on other than just like you're seeing a day in the life of Larry David on these various capers. And then, as you said, like later seasons, like we start to get more of like a real plot, more of a through line, characters start to develop more. This is really just like you're just like a fly on the wall watching this like weird guy interact with the world. And there's something like very dated but very special about it. These are not like my favorite episodes of Curb, but every time that I have had the chance to revisit them, like there's just like a certain charm to, I think, the season one episodes that I always really appreciate.
Yes. And when you watch it just visually, it's so different because of the fact that it's not an HD, it's a smaller screen.
Yeah, so, that's part of it.
Yeah, so it's very just the mere watching of it, it's very apparent how different of an era it is.
Yeah, you know, certainly Bob Odenkirk as Porno Gil, that's a real highlight. Yeah, I mean, it's like Larry like fights a lot in this season, like, and by fight I mean like physically fight.
Yeah.
That happens more, but I feel like it happens like it's very top heavy in this first season. I think like I see like three already just like flipping through here. We have like the bracelet, interior decorator. I think in Amco also there was one. I don't know. It's like it happens a lot very early on.
Yeah. You said that you know, this is not one of your favorite seasons. And you referenced Porno Gil, but you actually have two episodes that you rank even higher than Porno Gil, which is of course The Wire.
Yes.
And then also The Group, the season one finale, which you ranked 30th overall, which is quite strong.
Yeah, The Group is great. What was the uncle's name?
I don't remember the uncle's name. But Larry escorts his ex to Incest Anonymous, where he tells a made-up story about his uncle. And, the uncle comes to visit when Cheryl gets a job in the Vagina Monologues.
Yeah, everyone's like, "Oh my god!" Lots of touchy subjects in season one. That's for sure. We have beloved aunts. Affirmative Action. I remember being a very lousy episode.
Yeah, it was lousy, but not we're not saying this like politically. Larry is certainly unafraid to go anywhere and everywhere. That episode would be a much tougher go for Larry in 2024. Although Larry doesn't give a shit at all, that was not the strongest episode. But that's about it for season one for me anyway. Yeah.
All right. So season two, as we say, really we get into more of a through line storyline here, where Larry, in fact, the season starts out like Larry is just like around the house and like mopey and like sleeping in all the time. And Cheryl is like, you know, you got to go get a job. It's like first he tries to sell cars. That doesn't really work. And then he comes up with the idea that, like, you know, he's got to go back into show business. He's got to write something. He's got to create something. And he comes up with an idea, the premise of which there's like a post Seinfeld like character. Let's call her Elaine. Or, you know, maybe there could be a different post Seinfeld character. Let's call him George. And the real life versions of these characters, Jason or Julia, as they may be so called, they start to feel like they can't get any roles in anything where they're not just going to be typecast as Julia or Jason. They both, first he tries to pull this off with Jason, and like we have the whole thing about like the meeting about the meeting, and you know they're never able to get on the same page. Then he tries with Julia. The name of this proposed pilot is going to be "Aren't You Evelyn?" And they try pitching it to all the various networks, to HBO, ABC, NBC. I don't even remember all the exact ones. But basically, like, Larry goes on to offend one network executive after the other in various different ways. He also, alienates himself by having a altercation with Thor, the wrestler, with the trick-or-treaters and their father.
Can we come back to Thor, by the way?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we don't know how the episode ends with Jeff, but presumably he gets like the crap beaten out of him, right?
Presumably.
Yeah. Just as a reminder, so Larry asks Jeff to do him a favor and go let out the air on some tires of a car parked in the parking lot, which unfortunately is Thor's, unfortunately, because Thor shows up and catches Jeff in the act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
didn't mention yet on the podcast, I told you offline, that the way that I prepped for this recap we're doing is I watched all the episodes at 6x.
You did tell me that, yes.
Yes.
Put it on the wheel. Six curb, 6X.
Yeah. But listen, I did it with captions. I've seen these episodes so many times that it's more just to jog my memory of every single scene. And I slowed down to 3X or even 2X to enjoy some scenes. So.
Yeah. We also get the baptism towards the end of the season.
Yes.
I came across...
Larry is a Jewish hero.
Yes, I came across one of his monologues today that I was doing some research where he's like talking about, he's like, fine, be Christian, but like, why do they have to push it on everyone? Like, do I go around telling everyone, eat lobster, it's good? And not only that, I travel to Africa and I get them to eat lobster there. Like, just like leave everyone alone.
Yeah. What's the, because I'm not a super like a Marvel guy, or I don't even know if it's Marvel. The meme of the superhero guy in the red suit who sort of looks around and finds out that he's actually not in trouble, but he's like getting credit, and he like it turns into like an embarrassed sort of smile.
I don't know that meme. No.
I'm doing a bad job describing this, but you definitely know. It's a very okay. famous. It's a very famous GIF that's constantly online, but I don't know how to search for it because I don't, Because
you're describing it badly. All right. Well.
Yeah. But anyways, because that's really Larry somebody, so many times,
somebody
especially
shared,
at the back.
Share the group if you know what Chester's talking about tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then the season ends with Larry being sentenced to having to stand outside a restaurant holding a placard that says "I steal forks from restaurants," as all of his antagonists from the entire season arrive to dinner in the same restaurant on the same night to witness his humiliation.
Yeah. By the way, I can't find it now. I'm really annoyed. I googled "pleasantly surprised" GIF, and I actually find a Larry David one. How about if I just say I'm pleasantly surprised? I don't remember what episode that's from.
I don't know what that's from either.
Yeah. I will share that in the group, but that's not at all what I'm looking for. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no. So that's it. You know, we have some real strong episodes here. Yeah. You know, the Trick or Treat is an all-timer, and the run in like towards the end of the doll shack and the baptism in a row is fantastic. Yeah, what do you got to say about season two?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting because we're starting to, you know, see, as you said, season one is so much just vibes, and the vibes are good, and obviously this is a vibes over plot show in general. Mm-hmm. But in season two, I feel like we move past that. We get much like sort of we get deeper with the characters.
Yeah, for sure. We really get to know Larry and Cheryl better and Jeff. It's like it becomes a little bit more, I don't want to say sitcom-y, but it just like it starts to feel more like a regular show in season two, I think, even though it still is doing its curb thing in a very different way. It's just like something about it just feels much more cohesive.
Yeah. It's also interesting how much, I mean, I guess this is obvious, but like when you're used to the more recent episodes and more recent seasons, how much of a bigger role Cheryl has and Jeff has, like they're pretty much in almost every scene.
Yeah.
One of the two of them.
Yeah. And that's why and one of the ways it really becomes more of a show, the same, you know, same way. It's like, it's not just like literally following Larry around, which is like much more of like a documentary feel. Yeah. It's like there's characters, there's story, there's ongoing plots. Like it's a more normal, you know, thing that you're, you know, it's more approachable for sure as well.
Yeah. Did you read the LA Times had a like an oral history kind of history of Curb a couple weeks ago?
I skimmed it.
Yeah. You know, season two, of course, has the Shaq episode. And I guess I never thought about this, but they talked about like Shaq is not the one who's falling there, right?
Actually. Yeah, that makes sense. They have a stunt double.
Yeah. So they have a stunt guy fall. Then they have Shaq like do part of the fall, but like they emphasize that they had like multiple like cushioned, you know, mats all over the floor. I understand that because Shaq is like an athlete worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
It would be hilarious if Larry kicked him for real.
And his stunt double unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. I looked him up.
It's very sad.
I forget his name, but he was a stunt double / actor. All right, so yeah, so 2000 is season one, 2001 is season two, 2002 is season three. So these are the only seasons that we have sort of consecutively like that. Season three is we get like the real season-long story arc, which is that Larry joins a group of investors in a new restaurant, mm-hmm. and that group includes Jeff, and it includes Ted, and it includes Michael York. We also get to know Wanda Sykes in this season, a recurring character, but she really appears for the first time. And of course, we learn that Larry has been cast to act in a Martin Scorsese movie. And in the world of Curb, this is presumably the first time Larry's been on this side of the camera since when? SNL, he was just a writer.
Yeah, well, he was on that show Fridays, right? That somebody shared in the group. I think he was on camera in that too. And he was in a Woody Allen movie at some point. Yeah. He was in stuff here or there, but nothing major.
When you happen to be watching a Seinfeld in syndication, do you ever find yourself doing that?
No, because
it's a very strange thing to do because you can just go watch on Netflix without commercials immediately.
I don't have access to syndication. So,
But yeah, I was with my father-in-law last week and he was frequently doing that. And he didn't realize, as I didn't, you know, the first many times I saw the episodes in the 90s, all the Larry David. So like George Steinbrenner's Larry David and Frank Saturni is Larry David. And, you know, he was
right.
He was discovering that. Yeah, and I was the one who told him that because he didn't even realize it. But then once you're told it, of course, then you can't unhear the voice. Anyways, Larry also in season three has a running feud with the highly, highly annoying Stu and Susan Browdy. He gets a pubic hair stuck in his throat. We meet his father, Nat, and his cousin, Andy, after his mother dies. And the season ends with the triumphant opening of the restaurant, which is almost ruined by the chef's Tourette's, the chef who is not a survivor, but is in fact just a gambling addict. But Larry saves the day both brilliantly and vulgarly in one of the classic season finales.
Yeah, yeah, no, this is a really fun one.
I was going to play it.
Okay.
Foothead, shit-faced, cocksucker, asshole, son of a bitch!
Maybe one day I'll get a chance to do something good for somebody like that.
Scum sucking motherfucking whore! Cock! Cock!
Chism! Grandma! Cock!
Bum! Fuck! Turd! Fart! Cunt! Piss! Shit! Bugger! And balls!
Damn it! Hell! Crap! Shit!
You goddamn motherfucking bitch!
Fuck you, you car wash cunt! I had a dental appointment!
Fellatio, cunnilingus, French kissing. Rim job.
Right. Piss. Fucking.
Schmuck. Puss. Like Doctor's Glacker.
Pussy, big fucker.
Balls.
Boy cock, girl cock, E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah, so quite a way to end the season there.
Yeah, I mean, watching that scene, I do wonder, like, to what extent how many people they were, like, supposed to chime in and, like, you know, there does seem to be, like, some, like, genuine surprises there. It's just, like, seeing people's reactions to different things. So, I don't know. It's funny. Like, because, you know, Curb always, to the extent, we always have to wonder what's improv and what's, you know, on the page. It certainly here, it was just like everyone curse, right? But like,
yeah,
it
could have been boycock, girl cock, E-I-E-I-O, probably not on your bingo card.
Of course. Yeah. And, you know, even down to like, maybe it was just supposed to be like Larry, Jeff, and like Cheryl, and then like other people just like, you know what, I'm going to get in on this. And, you know, it just went from there. Like, that could have happened too.
Yeah.
But yeah, great, great stuff. Really fun season. Really like the restaurant stuff. The terrorist attack, a very funny standout, where Larry, you know, almost diverts an entire town up north, yeah, because they're afraid of a, you know, a rumor that somebody started about a terrorist attack. Yeah. What else we got here? Crazy Eyes Killa, of course, is the classic. The Nanny from Hell, I think we both, enjoyed her.
Yeah.
You know, she sings the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, she's a little crazy. We have the Benadryl Brownie, of course, which is a classic episode.
Yeah, that's where they bake the Benadryl in order to put the, like, the dog.
She's
to
a Christian,
right?
No, it's the Christian scientist girlfriend.
Uh huh.
Who won't take medicine.
Oh, right.
And Larry or Richard wants her to look good so we can take her to the Emmys.
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Yeah, Larry. Now, when Larry also has the he fires his like TV guy, and like then Wanda calls him racist.
Yeah. You, by the way, your fifth favorite episode of all.
Cat Shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starter. Yes, Wizard of Oz episode.
Yes, of course.
I love that's that. Yeah, the black and white shirt, classic. More Larry fighting on down to the floor. Yeah. Yeah, I really, really love that episode.
My favorite episode is also the season. It's Crazy Eyes Killa, though.
Crazy Eyes Killa, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we meet Richard Kind for the first time in this season with Andy.
Mm-hmm. Cousin Andy, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as I said, the first three seasons are in consecutive years of the more traditional way of viewing TV. But then Larry disappears for 2003, and it takes till 2004. He comes back after a year break for season four.
Yeah, and season four is the one that I think both of us consider to be the best season of Curb.
Yes.
It's certainly, like, in some ways, it's just, like, the most Larry David, the most Curb. It's, like, the most all of that in one big package that he's ever delivered. Like, the breaking the fourth wall, the, like, the self-hatred, the just, like, wild stuff that goes on in this season, with, you know, all, you know, mostly on the backs of the, you know, brilliant producer storyline. We find out early on that, like, Mel Brooks has identified Larry due to a, you know, karaoke performance one random weekend night, and he wants to cast him to star alongside, I think it's first Ben Stiller and then David Schwimmer, playing Max Bialystock on the Broadway production of The Producers. Of course, Katie Huffman, who appeared on this very podcast, appears in a number of episodes. She plays the main lead female role. What's her name? I can't remember it. Ava, something like that, right?
Oh, the name of the character in The Producers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I'm probably way off. Olin's going to be very upset. And the other main storyline of this season is that Larry and Cheryl are going to be celebrating their 10th wedding anniversary and are preparing to renew their vows, as one does. And Cheryl has decided to gift Larry as his anniversary present, a one-time only get out of jail free card, no questions asked, commit adultery.
Yeah.
And Larry's
it's not even get out of jail free. She's challenging Larry because she doesn't think he can find he can convince a woman to have sex with him.
Yeah, I think it eventually escalates to that. I think at first she's just like, this is just a gift. And like, but like when she sees.
Because she had said it when they were dating 10 years old and he reminds her of it. And she's
But, you know, sure enough, time after time, Larry manages to, you know, snatch defeat from the, you know, from the jaws of victory time after time, you know, with one woman after another who are offering themselves to him. And along the way, we befriend a blind man named Michael. Larry steals a golf club from a coffin and even enlists a prostitute to access the carpool line en route to a Dodgers game. All while facilitating an argument between two very different kinds of survivors. And it all culminates in Larry performing on stage on Broadway, and we find out that it was a scam all along. Mel Brooks has chosen Larry not because he saw something in him. He saw nothing in him. And just like in The Producers itself, Larry manages to, at least from the producer's storyline, snatch victory from the claws of defeat. And pull off a, you know, a new, the producers being on Broadway for many years to come, all much to the chagrin of Mel Brooks, who learns there's no way out. No way out.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this when we were doing our top 10 episodes, but not only are episodes 9 and 10 both in our top 10.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also had the carpool lane, which is virtually nothing to do with either of those stories, right? Except to the extent that I think when Cheryl sees Larry with the prostitute, he says, oh, is this how you're using your birthday present? Yeah, that's the one. Larry buys weed for his dad's glaucoma. He used the prostitute to go to the carpool lane to get at the Dodgers game. Like, nothing to do with the show at all, the producers. Nothing to do really with the anniversary present, and yet still like an all-time episode. So that's three all-time episodes in the season, and one of them, like, not, you know, totally a standalone, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like, just like flipping through, like, there's so many iconic things in this episode. And as you said, nothing to do with the producers even. So it's like the producers thing is this like all-time great curb plot and all-time great like final twist and pull off that the show has ever done. Frankly, that like Larry David has done in his career. And that's like a third of the season probably, right? And then we have like all these other like the five one, Larry stealing the golf club from the Funkhausers. Funeral for the casket, like that's like iconic Larry David. The Weatherman golf tiff is like completely iconic. We have the whole thing with the surrogate that he convinces not to go forward with the with giving away the baby. We have Wandering Bear and the Girls Gone Wild video. We got the tall survivor thing with Kobe Donaldson. It's like it's just this is just a jammed packed season of television. It's really crazy that this is all in here.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal season.
Yeah. So I mean, I think we both have this ranked as the highest, even though I think we probably both have Mel's Offer. We have is like I think one of the worst, if not the worst episode of the series, right?
It's 102 for both of us, so yeah, that's definitely near the bottom. I don't remember why it sets the table.
I think it's very bad is why we have it low. I remember even thinking at the time, what part of our discussion was like, this should just be a good table setter, but it's not. It's like really like the next episode really sets the table. So so that's season four. Anything more to say on season four? Yeah, truly iconic.
Not really.
Okay. Well, then we can keep going.
Yeah. All right. So season five, we're back into the annual thing. So this is 2005, 1 year after season four. We have two main plots here. The first is Larry misunderstands something his father said, which leads him to believe that he was adopted, which would please him as he could escape the emotional trauma of his family and of Judaism. He hires a private investigator, which is Mekhi Phifer, to look into it. It's quite a Jewish season. We have an entire episode based around a Passover Seder, another episode featuring the Orthodox Jewish man who runs the Kindy Consortium. That leads me to the second main plot of the season, which is Richard needs a kidney transplant, and Larry spends most of the season trying to find someone to donate the kidneys that he doesn't have to. The season finale, of course, Larry's told by the PI that he was, in fact, adopted, and he goes to Arizona to meet his birth parents. I was just there in Arizona last week meeting my wife's birth parents. Not meeting them, but
otherwise known as her parents.
Yes. Larry goes to Arizona, embraces the Goyish lifestyle there, which in his case means he becomes selfless. He tells Cheryl he wants to have a family with her. He agrees to give Richard his kidney.
He also goes hunting.
Yes. Well, that's in Arizona, yes. But as the operation is – well, hunting I feel like is more obviously a type of a Goyish lifestyle. Right. Than being selfless and wanting to spend time with your family. That's really more of a Larry David special.
More universal, yeah.
Yeah. As the operation is about to ensue, Mekhi Phifer shows up again to tell him no, in fact, he was not adopted. And Larry wants to get his way out of this operation. Unfortunately, it's too late. And during the operation, he briefly dies and goes to heaven. He sees everyone fighting over him, really more his money. Mm-hmm. He goes to heaven. He meets his mother, played by Bea Arthur. And he meets his two attending angels, played by Dustin Hoffman and Sacha Baron Cohen. And let's for one moment go to heaven with Larry.
Oh, yes, please.
Hello.
We're your guides.
We've been watching you your whole life.
Please.
Larry's got a full head of hair, by the way, in heaven.
Am I glad?
Yes, of course.
But you are dead. You did die.
Dustin Hoffman, you are dead.
You know, Larry, you've got a lot of fans up here.
Really?
You've heard of Ponce de Leon?
Yeah, the Spanish explorer.
Yeah.
I wrote a screenplay about it.
He knows it. He loves it.
Get out of here. Leon.
Larry, Marilyn Monroe was a huge fan of the Seinfeld show.
What?
It's true.
You're kidding.
No.
She's very much looking forward to meeting you.
Get out!
She talks often of you.
Marilyn Monroe?
It's true, isn't it?
True.
There's something truly Larry David that, like, in heaven, they refer to it as Larry. Yeah.
Yes.
Say hello to your mother.
What kind of schmuck are you? I mean, who goes around giving their kidney to people? Idiot! And I'm surprised that your father let you do such a thing. Wait till I see him again.
Why did you tell Dad not to bother me when you died? I missed your funeral.
So what? What's so important? Why were you so happy when you thought you were adopted? That's what I want to know.
I wasn't happy.
Oh, don't give me that. You were very happy.
I was not happy.
You were absolutely giddy.
Giddy? No,
giddy.
I was not giddy.
You were giddy.
Giddy? I was not giddy.
You were giddy. I'm not done with you yet, Buster.
Yeah, so that's Larry in heaven. Not having such a great time.
Yeah, truly, truly iconic scene. I really remember the first time I saw this and just like how amazing it was, like noticing that it was like Sacha Cohen and Dustin Hoffman on screen together acting as Larry's angels. This episode called The End. I saw in a preseason interview, Jeff Schaefer noted that, you know, the 50th episode of this season of this series, the season 5 finale, was literally called The End because at the time it was.
Yeah.
Nobody expected that there would be more seasons because Larry said he was out of ideas, and that was 70 episodes ago.
And that's that's the next. You know, we had the 1 year break before season 4. We have a 2 year break now between seasons 5 and 6.
Yeah,
and that will become the standard. 2 years will be the minimum break we have going forward.
Yeah.
I do want to know. Okay, just to counter B. Arthur's anti-Semitism there. There's statistics that altruistic kidney donation, which is when somebody donates a kidney like to somebody they don't even know, that in America, Orthodox Jews who are, you know, not even a, you know, what are we, a tenth of a percentage point or whatever, are like a significant percentage of those who do so. So what kind of schmuck goes away and gives away a kidney? It's different kinds of Jews, but anyway.
Yeah, I think I read that.
But like, I know people have done it. You probably know people have done it.
Yeah, I agree with B. Arthur, though. It's very stupid.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but seriously, because it's like, I actually think it's like, because like, what if like your kid needs one? Like, I'm going to be feeling like an idiot if I gave one to some stranger.
I mean, okay, I guess so. That's what Susie says to Jeff, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I agree with Susie. I'm on the same moral wavelength as Susie.
Yeah. All right.
I think I'm allowed to be selfish about my own kidney.
Yeah. No, it's part of your body. I get it.
It's my kidney.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah. No, it is.
It's not your kidney till they pull it out of the oven.
There are like lots of people that are born with only one kidney and they like never know. Because like unless it comes up, it's like not a big deal. Which is why you could donate one.
Well, hold on. When you say unless it comes up, how does that not come up in conversation? Like that your doctor's never, I don't know, like maybe it's a thing.
No, because like unless you do like a full body scan, you don't detect it. So unless you have like a kidney issue.
But you never, I don't know how the inside of the body works. Clearly, I never took biology at any level. Literally, I didn't take biology in high school. Do you know that?
That seems impossible.
You guys took bio in ninth grade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Canada, where I started, is 1 year behind. So in ninth grade, they do like general science. And then in 10th grade, they do bio. 11th grade, chem. 12th grade, physics. So they're 1 year behind New York. So in ninth grade, I did not take bio. And then in 10th grade, I just took chemistry. And then in 11th grade at our school, they said, you know, one of the options, like, would you like to take AP bio? I'm like, I never took regular bio. They're like, well, then you probably shouldn't. So I didn't. And then I went to college. And there's a whole course catalog of many biology classes. But they're usually for people who at the very least took biology in high school. So I literally have never taken a biology class since like junior high. I know nothing about the human body.
Oh,
okay. Anyways, so that's my way of saying that. I figured, I don't know, when they look in, like if you get like a colonoscopy, I don't know, they don't go near your kidneys then?
What do you mean go near them?
I don't know. You put a camera.
It goes to look. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
I don't know what it looks for.
You're the one who took biology in high school. You should be the expert.
The expert of what they're able to see on a colonoscopy.
I don't know. The expert on bodies.
I'll see in a few years. I'll let you.
Yeah, it's also because I'm married to a doctor. And so I've completely farmed out like my knowledge of anything related to that to her. Right. I sort of like. I feel like there's many fields in which in the family in the couple I'm responsible for knowledge, and the ones that I'm not, I'm going to completely rely on her.
That's smart. So, you get two back to back like all time Jewish episodes here with the Seder, where Larry invites a sex offender.
Yeah.
And then
the Seder, by the way, I have ranked number 12. You only have it 49. So you know above average for you, but
I wanted to match the days of the Omer. So.
Very nicely done. Ski Lift, of course, a top 10 episode for both of us.
Top 10 episode and probably the most Jewish episode. As we talked about a couple weeks ago. Like
the most Orthodox episode.
The most Orthodox episode of television at the time it occurred in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing more Orthodox Jewish that was ever on screen before the episode Ski Lift of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I could take that to the bag. In terms of like an entire episode.
Yeah, there's individual characters or whatever on ER, but yeah. All right, so that's season 5.
Yeah, season 5. All right, we're almost halfway done.
Yeah. We take a 2-year break. Now it's 2007.
And now's where like this, you know, Curb really kind of like turns the corner in a major way, and like not necessarily for good or for better. For, you know, most people probably say for good, but pros and cons. But the main thing that happens.
By the way, it's funny to think just these years, a majority of this show, because this is season 6, so we'll be through 61 of the ultimately 121 episodes at the end of. A majority of the show is filmed and is released during the Bush administration. Well, actually, I guess technically season 1 is the Clinton administration, but like, but like before, like pre-Obama, right?
Right.
And I guess a lot of that just speaks to the fact that, you know, he takes much bigger breaks between later seasons, but like much of the ethos of the show was written in like sort of a different like culture, different America in a lot of ways also.
Yeah, very fascinating.
I just feel like Larry's wildness is more understandable today when the whole world, like when Donald Trump is like when everybody's crazy and says and does crazy things all the time, right? And we have social media, and no matter how insane you are, we forget about you 5 minutes later, move on to the next thing. 20 years ago that wasn't the case. Like Larry was like, if you watch it with 2024 eyes, I don't think you appreciate how truly crazy Larry is in the early seasons.
Yeah, although I would think his like early season faux pas are not, you know, he becomes much crazier and much more like out there, I think, as the show goes on.
Yeah, well, as he has said many times, like basically the show turned real life Larry into character Larry. Because
right, he could get away
once with people expect it anyway, he's like, oh, people actually want me to act this way. Well, then why would I not act with my, you know, at all times? So,
yeah. The real Larry comes out.
Yeah.
So yeah, season six introduces us to the great Leon Black, portrayed by the legendary J.B. Smoove, mm-hmm. as Cheryl and Larry have agreed to shelter a New Orleans family named the Blacks.
Which, again, this is post-Katrina. This is very, very, very much the Bush era.
Yeah, we meet Leon, we meet his sister, Loretta, played by Vivica Fox. Loretta has two small children, and she's got an Auntie Ray that comes along with them. And they are looking for a place to live because their house has been destroyed in Hurricane Katrina. And the Davids are not so nice to only have them stay in their home. They also help them get into like a really elite private school, and they go to school with Sammy Green. Larry helps Leon look for and like interview for a job. What else do we have going on this episode? Sorry, in this season, we've got Ted making anonymous donations to museums.
Mm-hmm. Anonymous donor, probably the best episode of the season, I would say.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Literally, yeah. I rank it first of the 10, you rank it second, yeah.
Larry buys...
Freak Book is another strong episode of McEnroe.
Yep, that's another great one. And
then The Therapist is just a completely wild one. It's insane.
The Therapist is crazy. Yeah, that's where Larry is like simultaneously he's dating Cheryl's therapist, and he learns information about Cheryl, which he then uses to like stage a fake attempted robbery or mugging. It's crazy.
Yeah.
With one therapist mugs the other therapist.
Yeah.
And then Larry saves her.
Yes.
So he thinks he's a good guy.
Yes.
But by season's end, Larry gets distracted on a phone call when Cheryl's in the air calling to say that she thinks she's going to die.
Yeah.
And he's too preoccupied
Where did Larry get that idea from?
Yeah. Right. He's too preoccupied with the TiVo, and Cheryl decides she's going to reevaluate her life and their marriage, and she's leaving him. And season six ends on a very somber note.
Well, not really, because Larry brings Loretta to Sammy's bat mitzvah, love is in the air. Yeah. Remember, as they're dancing and looking at each other's eyes, the season actually ends on a very positive note.
Right. That's true. Yeah. And then we got the montage at the end, right?
Yes. Of course, we have the disgusting Tesla spreading the rumor about Larry. In the bat mitzvah in that episode as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But overall, I ranked it 84th. Ooh, only two pretties for me. I don't know why I didn't like that episode. Probably because I hate Tesla so much.
Yeah. We have Larry committing another stealing from a funeral incident this time. The flowers from the Ida Funkhauser roadside memorial. Always a Funkhauser memorial. This is like an up and down one. It's definitely some highlights, the ones that you mentioned, the bat mitzvah, the therapist, those are some really strong episodes. TiVo guy, we had Tom Conlon on. He was a really great guest. This is also when we started getting guests, is around now. So like we have some fun stuff coming up probably.
Yep. And I really think that, and I don't remember exactly if this was the case, but the feeling was after every season, once we got past, season five, as you mentioned, every season when it ended, there was speculation, is this it? Like, we never knew with any certainty whether another season was coming.
Yeah.
It's another 2-year break before season seven. It's 2009. So this is a slightly different America. We have a Barack Obama in the White House, and we have Loretta and Larry now dating with Cheryl gone. But Larry wants to break up, which becomes difficult when Loretta is diagnosed with cancer. Larry will finally trick her into dumping him. And she and her entire family will leave, except for Leon. Leon is here to stay. But of course, the main season seven plot is the Seinfeld reunion. This was a huge story at the time. Larry runs into Cheryl for the first time since the divorce. He learns that she appreciated him more back when he had a job. And so he accepts NBC's offer for a Seinfeld reunion only because he intends to give Cheryl a part in the show and thus win her back. That is the driving force behind the Seinfeld reunion. Really, like, the running theme in season seven is Larry just being back on the market, right? Post Loretta, he dates Mary Jane, who it turns out has another boyfriend. He dates Denise Handicapped and Wendy Wheelchair
in the same episode.
He almost gets back with Cheryl at the end of the season, of course, only to discover that it was Cheryl who doesn't respect wood, for which Larry had been falsely blamed by JLD. And so Larry ruins his chance, as we said, pulling victory from the jaws fooling defeat from the jaws of victory, ruins his chance of getting back with Cheryl to try to force her to admit her wood disrespecting ways to JLD. But again, this is all secondary. Like the Seinfeld thing, that's what the folks were coming to see.
Yeah, I mean, what more is there for us to talk about the Seinfeld reunion that we haven't done already? I mean, we covered all of these episodes. Then we did an episode where we covered the Seinfeld episode itself. Like we watched the patch together. Yeah, as an episode of Seinfeld. We've talked extensively about the legacy of Seinfeld as it relates to Curb. We had a special episode where we recharged the mitzvah and rewatched the table read and all the Danny Duberstein stick. So, I mean, we've been all over this season and this.
We said that season 4 is our favorite season, but I'm looking if you average the episode rankings from every season. I think, I have done that. Let me check. I think season 7 would have to be, it's actually season 2 is my top ranked season, surprisingly, which is, taking the show around with Julia and Jason, and then season 4 and then season 7. But I'm looking at the season 7 rankings from both of us, just, really strong rankings episode by episode. Funkhauser's Crazy Sister, an above average episode. Vehicular Fellatio, a fantastic episode. The Reunion, a great episode. That's when we first get the idea of the reunion, because it doesn't even appear until episode 3, which I remember at the time being kind of crazy, because like we knew coming into the season there was going to be a Seinfeld reunion, and then it gets no mention episode 1. It gets no mention episode 2, and it was like it was quite a tease. Denny's Handicapped, an all-time episode of the season. The Black Swan, an all-time episode in the season. And then, of course, the table read is your number one episode of all time.
Yeah, and then for the season 7 finale, we also had Jeff Schaefer, the showrunner, as a guest. And he was incredible. He talked about this episode. He talked about his time on Seinfeld. He had tons of great stories to share with us. So that was obviously really, really cool.
Yeah, he brought a guest.
He did bring a guest, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, season 7 was, like, in many ways, like, peak of this podcast.
Yeah. It's all downhill since then, guys.
We had what's her name, who played
Vicki Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. For the table read, we had Mr. Takahashi, and we had we did some really good stuff in this season.
Yeah. All right, should we go to season 8?
Let's go to season 8. Season 8.
Another 2-year break. Now it's 2011.
Yeah, and Larry is going to take not just a break, he's going to take a little cross-country trip in this season. After finalizing his divorce from Cheryl, he starts to enjoy life as a single man. He embraces his role as social assassin. He realizes that chicken isn't the only thing he likes about Palestinians. And he finally loses his longstanding assistant, Antoinette. But the season takes a turn, as I said, when in order to avoid attending a charity gig, he tags along with Jeff and Susie on a 3-month trip to New York City, where he reunites with Leon and butts heads with Ricky Gervais, Michael J. Fox, and Rosie O'Donnell, while forming an unlikely friendship with Bill Buckner.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Mr. Softy already, but just it's such a brilliant episode in so many ways.
It's the Bill Buckner, and
that's not even the best episode of the season, because we have Palestinian chicken in the season.
Also. Yeah, which you sent me that Larry David said is his favorite episode.
Yeah, it's only second for me and you, but Larry knows more than both of us probably.
Yeah. We have great cameos in this season. We talked about Bill Buckner. We mentioned Michael J. Fox. The Larry versus Michael J. Fox is a really fun episode. Yeah. The way Michael J. Fox like
Michael J. Bloomberg in the episode.
Michael Bloomberg in the episode, Michael J. Fox leaning into like the Parkinson's bit, and like, getting into this feud with Larry is just like really great stuff. Rosie O'Donnell comes back to just always, she's always just busting chops with Larry. Ricky Gervais, really good foil for Larry. So, we're really raising the game on the cameos, I feel like, in this New York season, which also makes sense because they probably like, oh, we have access now to like this whole other group of people who are in New York this summer, who we can pull into the show. So it's pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
Yep.
All right.
And season 8 ends, and we really think the show ends 2011. And then there's a 6-year gap until season 9, which is by far the longest in the series. For years we just assumed, that the show was over. Larry came to New York. He did, he made the sound reunion. He's covered everything he wants to do. The show's over. But then he comes back. 6 years later, so we've skipped all the way from 2011 to 2017. It's the Trump era now. And Larry is writing Fatwa the Musical, which unsurprisingly results in him incurring an actual fatwa from the Iranian Ayatollah. Leon teaches Larry about foisting. Larry introduces us all to the accidental text on purpose, or at least gives it a name. I think we may have been doing it occasionally before. Ted asks Larry for permission to begin dating Cheryl. He doesn't receive it, but he begins dating Cheryl anyway. Larry continues ruining the lives of all the Funkhausers as star pitcher Kenny Funkhauser breaks his elbow trying to open Larry's pickle jar and then gets killed in the running of the bulls when he follows a hooker Larry introduced them to Spain. And then Larry ruins Kenny's memorial when he mistakes a swarthy guest as a fatwa assassin. The musical ends up getting ruined anyway because of a conflict between Larry and his star, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Larry also, by the way, he ruined Sammy's wedding to Victor the Veteran. Obviously, that was going to happen. That part of the season I actually enjoy, but overall, pretty clearly the worst season of the show.
Yeah.
And you know, kind of, although, you know, Foisted was a fantastic episode.
Yeah.
You know, you ranked at 13, I ranked at 24. Top episode. But then really, the rest of the season, it's all downhill. There's a couple of, you know, minor spikes, but it's really quite a poor episode. There's three different episodes this season that I give 1.5 pretties that I rank in my bottom 10 overall.
Very few pretties.
Yeah, which is not good. And you have two episodes you have in your bottom 10 and another one you have in your bottom 20. So yeah, real disappointing season. And, you know, it's weird because I remember even thinking at the time, like, this is disappointing, but like, I don't want to like say that because I don't want, and I don't mean me personally, but like in the culture, I don't want us to be saying that because I don't want to discourage Larry from making more seasons because, you know, he went away for 6 years, the show was seemingly over, comes back, and if nobody likes the season, he's like, I gotta fuck this, I'm gonna leave. But fortunately, Larry doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks. And so he continues and he makes, you know, seasons 10, 11, and now 12. And fortunately, he does because those seasons are big improvements over season 9, I think.
Yeah, season 9 is clearly the worst, as you said. Like, even, like, shuffling through these recaps here, like, I could think of, like, good moments, but, like, not even good episodes. As you said, the Foisted one is the best one.
Yeah.
That was, you know, pretty, you know, iconic in terms of, like, adding something to the lexicon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's really not much too memorable here beyond that, unfortunately.
And by the way, it's such a huge margin, the worst season. I'm looking at like the rankings, like it's closer, like the second to worst season, which is season 6, which is when we meet the blacks and Larry gets divorced. Seasons, the gap between season 9 and season 6 is bigger than the gap between season 6 and all the way like the fourth best season. So yeah. It's like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, you have the top seasons and then everything else sort of bunched in the middle and then the fatwa way at the bottom.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they, you listen, they were rusty. They came back after 6 years and
exactly.
Then they got their fastball back because
for sure. Yeah.
We're going to jump into season 10, which has, I would say, two main storylines. One is like the less memorable sexual harassment storyline where he, you know, Larry keeps like legitimately accidentally like putting himself into situations that look really bad.
Yeah.
And you know, now he's gonna get sued. Although he ends up fighting more with his own lawyer than he does with his accuser, but that's neither here nor there. The major storyline, the one that is truly the most memorable for the season, and like one of the most memorables of the series, so much so that they have publicly in real life commemorated this just a few days ago. I saw in the news. I'm of course talking about the storyline whereby Larry, after getting into a few disputes with the proprietor of Mocha Joe's, one Mr. Mocha Joe, decides to open what he calls a spite store, which he dubs Latte Larry's right next door in order to try to divert business away from Mocha Joe. And they have this petty game of one-upsmanship all season long. Ted, of course, becomes an investor in Mocha Joe's just to stick it to Larry.
Yeah.
Larry will do all sorts of crazy things, including wearing a MAGA hat and buying a sex doll and commissioning a painting.
Well, Leon bought a sex doll. Larry,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
fine. He commissions a painting of Susie, and he becomes best friends with John Hamm, as well as meeting several new Funkhausers.
Yeah, and we go to Cabo for Mickey's wedding.
Right. Now, you're not going to get me say anything bad about Mickey.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to try. But it's really incredible because, again, after season 9 being such a downer, we have four top 20 episodes in this season in terms of our, you know,
really?
Your rankings, my rank. Yeah. You're not going to get me say anything bad about Mickey. We both love that one. Elizabeth, Margaret, and Larry, which is the John Hamm episode.
Yeah,
we both love that one.
That's a classic.
Yeah, the ugly section. We both love that one.
Right, with Nick Rob.
Yeah.
That's also the Jets one. Yeah.
The Friends Widow's Magical Vagina after the Jets kill him. Yes. Yeah,
my God. He didn't even live to see Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that thank God he lived. That's why he killed himself. He knew what was coming.
He's a smart guy.
You should have also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, of course. Yeah, which has the MAGA hat, which, so a very, very strong comeback season 10 for the show.
Yeah, and of course it ends as only Curb can, with a prosthetic penis knocking into something that knocked into a fire that burnt down both Latte Larry's and Smokey's.
Yes, yes. It's Joey Funkhauser's Big Ass Johnson.
Right.
Remember? Joey Funkhauser has transitioned to male and given himself such a huge penis that he can't, that he doesn't know how to handle it.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Too big, Larry thinks.
Yes.
He knocks into the, to the coffee warmer.
Yes.
And that starts to fire.
Yes. Larry also upsets an interracial couple by asking them about their baby's color.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So this episode comes out, this season comes out in 2020. And then immediately Larry turns around quickly after COVID hits. Season 11 drops 2021, like immediately thereafter. It's very impressive how quickly, especially, you know, they hadn't done this in 16 years at this point, but, he comes back the very next year with season 11, the season that we most recently covered on the show, that we most recently saw on TV. Larry is shopping a new show about his youth called Young Larry. Unfortunately for him, when a man who broke into his house dies, having drowned in his pool, which was not surrounded by a 5-foot fence, as is legally required, the deceased burglar's brother extorts Larry into casting his daughter, Maria Sophia, to star in Young Larry, opposite Larry. Larry will begin dating a city councilwoman in the hopes that she will change the law regarding the 5-foot fence, thus permitting Larry to fire Maria Sophia and save the show, because, of course, when you change a law, they retroactively cancel it as well.
Yes.
One of many flawless legal logics throughout the season. Leon will break up with his girlfriend, Mary Ferguson, but having already purchased tickets for a trip with her, he begins auditioning other Marys Ferguson to replace her on the trip to Asia. Larry will introduce the concept of middling, which certainly in the Orthodox Jewish community, where we have Shabbos meals every Saturday or with groups of friends, is a very, very commonly referenced topic now, or term, I should say. Vince Vaughn arrives as Freddie Funkhauser to replace the dearly departed Super Dave. Freddie is opening a hotel, the Funkhouse. And it all builds up to the season finale, where Larry himself will trip and fall into a pool that is not surrounded by a 5-foot fence. And when Irma misses the council meeting on the vote to repeal the law, which she does because she's fallen off the wagon, which she does because she discovers that Larry stole her grandfather's Holocaust shoes from the Museum of Tolerance. So anyway, when Irma misses the meeting, the vote is tied. The law is not overturned. Meanwhile, Leon doesn't get to go on his trip with the new Mary Ferguson because she steals the tickets and instead goes with Alexander Vindman. Yes, the real Alexander Vindman, who was on the season finale of Curb. For some reason,
because he overhears Larry trying to bribe council a little bit, but Larry then claims was a perfect phone call.
Yes, again, a very, very clearly in the Trump era season of Curb there in season 11.
Yeah, no, you're telling me Alexander Vindman isn't a household name these days?
Yeah.
That 6-day scandal that was the first Trump impeachment.
Yeah. It was completely, just the way that we veered from day to day back then, never knowing what the hell was going to happen. And like 40% of Americans like, let's bring that back. Like,
much more than 40%.
Yeah, let's live on the edge of complete chaos and insanity. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And so now we're season 12 is nearly upon us. Do you have any more takes about season 11, or should we hop into season 12?
No, we could hop into season 12. Yeah. See, I mean, season 11, just, the revelation that was, Maria Sophia and Irma Kostrowski, really is what carries a lot of the energy in the season. Like, lots of really fun stuff. Irash Masay was really great. Woody Harrelson and the watermelon, the Klansman episode. Fantastic. The mini bar, I think, was my favorite, if I recall.
Yeah.
But it was a really, really fun season. It was like showed that Curb, even in its latest stages, was still really able to pack a punch. And leaves me really excited as we jump into season 12, about which we don't know very much. But we're going to tell you everything that we know. And then week by week, we're going to learn a little bit more together. So I'm really excited for that. So, Alex, what do we have here? I think we have a little trailer action. Is that what we're going to start out with here?
Yeah. So we're gonna watch the trailer. If you haven't seen it, just Google Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 12 trailer. You will find it very, very easily. We are going to watch it. It is 2 minutes long. It will probably take us 2 hours to get through this trailer, I would guess, if it's anything like last year. By the way, before we watch the trailer, I'll just note that season 11, Elon Gold, I think on the Mount Rushmore of pretty, pretty, pretty good guests. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was really fantastic. And yeah, people really responded to that episode.
Yeah. All right. Let's watch the trailer. Let's see how long we can get in before. Just yell at me to pause and I'll pause if I want to pause.
Oh, I'll yell at you.
Have you not?
All right. So we start outside some like nice looking, evening party in Los Angeles.
This is a nice house.
Yeah. Very nice house. Pool lights up.
And
Larry, inside the party now, talking to Leon, wearing glasses, different glasses for Larry.
Very different new glasses. Frames. That man is wearing glasses that I do not recognize.
Yes.
Have you noticed that when you take a picture, you don't look nearly as good as you do when you look in the mirror? Because the mirror is how you see yourself, and the photo is how you're seen.
All right. Those glasses, they look like a 1950s pair of women's glasses or something. They got like wings. Leon's mustache is
they're
drooping.
Ladies' glasses.
Yeah. Leon's mustache is drooping very strangely. I interrupted Larry. Leon's about to tell us how deep that message is by Larry. What's your take on Larry's theory there?
I definitely feel that way about myself. I think I look worse in pictures than I do in real life.
You think you look better in the mirror than
I think I look better in the mirror than I do in pictures. Yeah.
You know, I was going to disagree, but now, cause it just seems absurd to me. But I am thinking about it, and yes, when I see myself in photos these days, I'm always disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess I just don't look in the mirror that often. But I don't know. But I only really look in the mirror for like if I'm doing something else, I'm brushing my teeth or I'm shaving. Like, I don't know. So maybe I'm just hideous and I've looked away.
You're definitely hideous.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to Leon.
Let's continue.
Oh, that's deep. Whether I'm
right. Larry is back for one final act.
Antibiotics.
Antibiotics.
And that gives men breasts. Well, Larry could grow breasts.
I said, thought of Larry with breasts.
Well, you get pretty cute. It's not good for you.
Pretty cute.
I gotta be.
Pause. All right. Yeah, that's a Seinfeld callback there. George was worried about developing breasts.
Yeah. So Irma and Larry are still dating, clearly. They're on a double date here with Susie and Jeff at a restaurant where Irma thinks that a side effect of some antibiotic is that Larry will grow breasts, which Susie does not like. Larry thinks would be pretty, pretty good. I don't know. What's your
pretty thing? Cute. He thinks it would be pretty cute.
Oh, pretty cute, yeah. He gives his breasts three pretties.
He gives three pretty cutes.
Yeah.
I would prefer not to grow breasts personally.
Yeah. But I'm not asking about that. I'm asking how cute would Larry be with breasts?
I don't think not very cute.
Yeah. You're giving zero cutes to zero pretties.
Yeah, I think Larry should stay with his current body frame.
Yeah. All right, let's Susie with a much shorter haircut these days also.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said that Larry's glasses look like a 1950s lady. Susie's hair looks like a Jerry curl from like 1982 or something.
Yeah, she's very 80s here.
Yeah.
Big girl.
Don't be mad, he's leaving.
That's what happens when people have sex. They say, I love you. You're very special.
People talk like that?
Yeah.
Men do that?
Yes.
All right. Have you ever said, I love you, you're very special during sex?
I don't think I've said you're very special.
Yeah. yeah, that's and if I did, I didn't mean it in the way that Charles was meaning. Yeah,
you meant that's like that was very special.
Yeah. Anyway, so the captions say, "Don't be mad, he's leaving," or "Be mad, he stayed so long." And we have Susie about to reappear here.
Small, you're petty, you're jealous, you're a walking fucking virus, Larry.
I gotta be free.
It's time to say goodbye. What do you think about that?
We had Larry celebrating in the driveway. I wonder what that's going to be about. I'm excited to see what he's celebrating about.
Yeah. I think he's celebrating that he got thrown out of Susie's house again. I mean, not connected scenes.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. Let's see. We don't know if it's – yeah. He's certainly exhilarated. He's got a towel around his shoulders as if he's just been working out.
Gotta be free.
Very sorry to hear about your father.
Father-in-law, thank you.
Well, that's –
All right, so
somebody named Artie. Yeah.
Yeah, a guy named Artie has died. We don't know who he is, and Larry is wishing condolences to his son-in-law, and we don't know who he is either. Artie will always be on our hearts, though, it says.
To hear about your father.
Father and mother. Thank you.
Well, that's, you know, it's a little better.
Your dad's still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Gotta
be me. I think it's the happiest I've ever been in my life.
I don't even know who I'm looking at right now.
How is something good happening to me?
All right, so Larry is, great things are happening. He's celebrating outside the house. He's celebrating here on the golf course with Richard Lewis. What good thing happened to him? Do you think he hit a hole in one, or is it even like a longer term?
No, I think it's a longer term thing. I don't think he'd be this excited about a hole in one. But yeah, like, what could it be? It's like, it's not going to be money. It's not going to, like, it's that, like, he's like, things are going great with Irma. Like, I don't know. That doesn't feel right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised he's still with Irma, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So do we have any speculation for what the good thing is that's happening to him?
No, I can't imagine. Yeah. Unless he finds out that he's Gentile again.
Yeah, I'm going with hole-in-one.
Okay. To me.
How did you decide on...
And no sooner do I say that, but then he tees off and hits an unidentified man in the back who collapses in the middle of the course. So we don't know who that guy is, right? Red Jacket.
No, but I'm going to have a good story when we get to that one.
Okay. How did you decide...
All right, now he's talking to a gay couple, and it's Dan Levy. Is Levy's how he pronounces it, right?
I think so. Yeah. No, Levy. Levy.
Oh, yes. Wait, it is Levy?
Yeah.
I'm all confused now.
Eugene Levy, you know?
Eugene Levy, Levy, Levy. I think you're right. Yeah.
Stan Levy.
Yeah, this shouldn't be that hard for me. And then Sean Hayes is the other one. So now Sean Hayes has talked a lot on his podcast Smartlist about the fact that he's going to be on Curb. Not a lot, but he's mentioned a couple of times.
Cool.
He's going to be on Curb. So we see that here in the trailer. And yeah, so they are clearly a gay couple, as we will tell from Larry's question to them.
You decide on the last name anyway. I assume it's your semen, right?
What did you just say?
I have to accept the fact that you're wired.
Oh, and our friend Dana Lee is back.
Yeah, Mr. Takahashi, Mr. Yeah. Freddy Funkhauser, all back in the season 12.
Somehow, Larry is still a member of the club, despite everything he's done. And he and Takahashi are looking at each other or something. They're showing, making eyes.
Except the fact that you're wired like a fucking lunatic.
I didn't know you had alopecia.
You're a cheater.
No, you're a cheater.
You always have to be the center.
All right, who do you think was the cheater between Jeff and Larry there?
I think they both cheated.
Yeah. On the golf course or otherwise, or both?
On the golf course.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, a lot just happened there. We missed what happened. We had, after Takahashi, we had Freddy Funkhauser yelling at him, calling him, cursing him out. A lot of people yelling at Larry this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And now we have, Ted and Cheryl who, when they have sex with each other, tell each other how much they love each other.
You have to be the center of attention.
All right. Now we have a group of women all waving signs, chasing Larry's vehicle, running after him in the street.
Yeah,
well, things are not going as well for him now as they were, just moments ago.
Things appear to have taken a turn. Yeah,
yeah. Any speculation from you?
Why they're chasing him? He probably
put them off.
A number of them have signs. A couple of them have flowers.
Can we read now, the what signs? Event...
No, you can't read the signs. They're shaking them at him as they chase him. But they're floppy. They're not. Now I'm trying to think. You would take flowers to like a funeral. You wouldn't take signs to a funeral.
Go back a little bit. I want to see the nature of this crowd.
But if it's like a protest, if it was a protest, then you wouldn't have flowers. So I'm very confused. Yeah, let's
center of attention.
Freeze here. Her.
Engine.
All right, you see the crowd here. It's all women. There's one man over there, I think, in the protest. There are women wearing jeans, flannel shirts, jackets, fall season perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And see, they're shaking signs, but their signs are floppy, so you can't see what they say.
So obviously it's some sort of lib rally.
Oh, for a split second there, I felt like we could see some text, but whatever. It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, let's go back to 1X.
There's an authenticity involved in caring about oneself.
Get the fuck out of my house. Wait,
let me say goodbye to your stupid fucking dog.
Don't touch that dog. Do not touch the dog.
Ever.
All right, so apparently Ted and Cheryl have gotten a dog together. A stupid fucking dog.
Yeah, I mean, that's really taking things to the next level.
Yeah.
Now
they
serious.
Love each other. They're special to each other.
They're both very special.
Yeah. Larry getting kicked out of a house yet again. The final season.
going to be honest, I'm disappointed. I was expecting more from a childhood hero.
I really did the best under the circumstances of a person who hates people and yet had to be amongst them.
All right. So, first of all, who is this this guy with the accent?
I don't think I recognize him.
Who calls Larry a childhood hero? In the background, CNN is on. It says, market sentiment sees investment uptick. Oh, good. Ooh, financial part.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. So this guy's telling Larry. And Larry now is back in the 1950s style women's glasses that he was wearing in the opening clip, which he wasn't then wearing for the rest of the episode. So also we can see behind Larry a blonde woman typing. But that maybe that's she seems. Yeah.
Who hates people and yet had to be amongst them.
I gotta be me.
All right. Max, plans start $9.99 a month.
All right. That's exciting. So
we've seen the trailer.
We've seen the trailer.
Do we have episode titles?
What do we know? Do we know things? We do have some episode titles. The first episode is called Atlanta.
Mm. Atlanta, that's a good show. Do you watch Atlanta?
I've watched not all of it. I watched some of it. I don't think I saw the last season, maybe. I do like it. I think Auntie Ray is going to be back in this episode, is what I heard. Oh, Miss Aliyah English. Mm. So it seems Larry's going to travel to Atlanta.
Do you think we will see any Donald Glover, Lakeith Stanfield?
Totally.
Any of the Atlanta cast?
All the Atlanta Braves team will be there in this episode.
Okay, well, Nancy Ray's coming back. So that's
Troy Kotsur, I think that's how you pronounce his name, Oscar winner from the movie Coda a couple years ago, is going to be in this episode. He's a deaf performer, so be interesting to see. We've had someone taking a vow of silence. We had
Mary Matlin on Seinfeld.
That's true. Yeah, so nothing we haven't seen before. That's Atlanta. I don't really think we have cast list beyond that, but then episode two we have called The Lawn Jockey.
Mm, yeah. Not only that, but at least for episode one, they've given us the sort of a screenshot of Leon, like a still from the episode. We don't even have that after episode one, I don't think.
Yeah, they're really keeping things close to the vest. Episode three is called Vertical Drop, Horizontal Tug.
Mm.
It almost sounds like one tuck, one no tuck.
Mm. I was going to say it sounds like some kind of complicated sex position. The move, perhaps.
Oh, maybe this is the move.
All right, so let's discuss this again. Vertical?
Vertical drop, horizontal tug.
Okay. No, let's not delve into this too much.
All right. Episode four is called Disgruntled. Who do you think is going to be disgruntled? I'm going to say Larry David's going to be disgruntled.
Yeah. I mean, so many options, but yes.
Yeah. What does it mean to be gruntled?
Yeah. By the way, Troy Kotsur plays himself.
Oh, is he playing himself? That's interesting.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't guess that.
Troy Kotsur. Yeah. To be honest, I'm not familiar with him. But yeah. Oh, he's the deaf performer. Yes, I am. I just didn't know his name. Yeah, of course. Yeah. He won the Oscar.
I said that for Coda.
Sorry. Yeah, he was great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did say that. I forgot. Yeah. all right. So in season, wait, which episode are we up to now?
Now we're up to episode four, Disgruntled.
There will be a scene in a synagogue in episode two, by the way.
Lawn
jockey. And I say this because on the cast, Evan Shaffrin will play a temple party goer. So there's a party at the temple, unless they mean Temple University.
Oh, that would be a great crazy twist.
They go to Philadelphia. That could be the case. Did I ever tell my temple anti-Semitism story?
No.
Oh, I've ruined.
Wait, Temple University or temple?
Well, I've ruined the punchline already. But basically, hanging out with a group of friends in Philadelphia, and one girl was like a little drunk and being annoying. And so somebody at a bar said to her, why don't you go back to temple? And she went ballistic and said, that's so anti-Semitic of you. You said I'm Jewish. And no, it's because like this bar was like near Temple University. So they thought like she was a temple student. She was just a drunk idiot from a different school.
So they're just rabid anti-temple tights.
Yes, perhaps. By the way, so I see that Evan Shaffrin is back in episode four, Disgruntled, as a temple party goer. That's got to be a mistake. I don't think they're going to. Oh, no, excuse me. No, now he's the rabbi's office assistant.
Yeah, something's off.
Okay, no, okay, so that makes sense. Okay, so he's at the party. I think what's off is Evan Shaffrin, this guy just added himself or his representation added him to IMDb because he's the only person listed on the cast for those two episodes.
Yeah.
And he's actually uncredited the first time as the temple party goer. And then two episodes later, he's the rabbi's office. So anyways, we're going to a synagogue and we have a rabbi and that rabbi has an assistant and that assistant is Evan Shaffrin. And Evan Shaffrin is on IMDb, so good for him.
Yeah.
All right, episode 5.
Episode 5 is called Fish Stuck.
Seems like there's a missing word there.
Fish. The fish was previously in the dark, but now it's stuck.
Yeah, fish stuck. Interesting. Fish
stuck. Yeah.
I don't even know how to begin to speculate about that.
Yeah, it sounds like a fish song, Fish Stuck.
Yeah, something like that.
Fish stuck. all right, episode 6, the Gettysburg Address. Larry returning to his revolutionary roots. Back from the episode where they, you know, he goes to the staging of the Revolutionary War and gets shot at with a real cannon. So maybe they'll be returned to form here. I hope not. That was a terrible episode.
This episode, will it be longer or shorter than the actual Gettysburg Address?
Oh, for sure longer.
Yes, I would hope so.
The Gettysburg Address was like 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, it was not in our day, but in our parents' day, it was like a required thing to memorize.
Yeah, I don't know about it.
Yeah, my dad still knows it by heart because he had to as a kid. But
number 7 is The Dream Scheme. Pretty cool sounding episode. Do you think this is like kind of like an Inception like episode where like Larry is part of this like elite team of like dream bandits who try to incept dreams into people's minds in order to scheme that amount of money?
That would be a dream scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really, these episode titles are really throwing us off. Dream Scheme, Gettysburg Address. What's happening?
Yeah, well, it's about to take a little bit of a turn because episode 8 is called The Colostomy Bag.
Ooh. Well, let's hope Larry's okay.
Yeah.
Now, along the same lines as
Evan Shaffrin. I'm hoping it's for Irma. That feels like a thing.
Yeah. Along the same lines as Evan Shaffrin in the synagogue, a actor by the name of Jesus or Jesus, perhaps, Garcia, has added himself as the only cast member of episodes 8 and 9. He plays Rodrigo.
Rodrigo.
So we'll have a character named Rodrigo in episode 8 and again in episode 9.
Very exciting.
Mr. Garcia's only credit on IMDb is these two season episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So, and he was on a podcast once in 2022.
On a podcast in 2020.
Yeah. So more great job. Once. So great job by his representation.
Can we put ourselves on IMDb?
Well, I think you got to get on the podcast and an episode of Curb.
Oh, okay.
So we got Mr. Garcia, colonoscopy bag.
And then episode 9 is called Ken/Kendra.
Ooh, Ken. Ken nominated for an Oscar. The only actor from that movie.
Yeah, well, that's actually true.
The man had to show the women how to act.
America Ferrera also did.
No? Oh, she did?
I believe so.
The principal female director and character didn't. All right, got it.
Correct.
All right, so that's Ken/Kendra. And then season 10, the episode and series finale, episode 10.
We have no name for.
We don't even have a name.
Yep,
although we do have a screenshot again, actually. We have for episode 1 and episode 10. The screenshot is Larry talking to Leon, who is wearing headphones.
Cool.
So, yes, I'm not sure.
Do you think Leon is listening to Pretty, Pretty, Pretty Good?
It says, notice security room on a sticker on the door behind Leon. So maybe Leon's working some kind of security gig here. He also has a walkie-talkie in his hand.
There's also a screenshot where they're at like a Delta terminal. So this is probably, I bet this is from the first episode where they go to Atlanta. They're clearly at an airport here.
Okay, yeah, that's possible. All right. So I'm trying to see, but episodes 2 through 9, we have the same screenshot for all of them. All right, so those are our titles. What else? Do we have a list of guest stars that we haven't mentioned before coming back?
Well, yeah, well, so we mentioned some of them. I also saw a report of Conan O'Brien.
Oh, very exciting.
I would assume he's playing himself. I can't imagine Conan O'Brien is playing a character, right? It's like,
it
would like break the, it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. I love Conan O'Brien. I love his podcasts. I really enjoy him, so I'm excited to see him come in here.
And then the other names we haven't mentioned that I saw were Steve Buscemi.
Oh, love him as well.
I feel like he'll probably be playing a character.
Yeah, I would agree.
And Sienna Miller, who I would assume will be playing herself.
Yeah, I have to admit, I don't know who she is. So
she's like a model.
Yeah.
Primarily. So it's like, why you wouldn't bring her on really to play? I don't think she's an actress really. So,
she was nominated for a BAFTA Rising Star Award in 2008.
Oh, so maybe she did become an actress, but I think she was originally. Yeah. Okay. So
yeah, she's been in a bunch of stuff, but. Nothing
okay, that, so I'm wrong.
That jumps
I'm
out to me.
I'm probably confusing her with somebody else, though.
She has a tabloid notoriety section of her acting career, a subsection on Wikipedia.
Okay, no, I'm clearly confusing her with someone else. I thought she was a model.
Well, no, she was that also.
No, but I thought she was primarily a model.
She was engaged to Jude Law. Oh, and then Jude Law had the affair with the nanny. That was when he was married to Sienna Miller.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. All right. She was an American Sniper, yeah. Right? Okay.
Then Then she had an affair with Balthazar Getty.
What's that with everyone actor. Having all the affairs? Come on. Yeah.
Then she went back together with Jude Law. And then they split again. Sorry to hear that. Oh, then she became engaged to Thomas Sturridge. She had a daughter. Then she dated Ollie Green. I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah.
Then she had another kid with Green. Okay. Yeah, and then all the other guest stars we mentioned, Vince Vaughn, of course, is back, Tracy Ullman's back, and then Troy Kutzer, we mentioned Sean Hayes and Dan Levy.
Yep.
All right. So that's next week. Anything else we have to do, Av?
Before we go, I think we should just go one more time before season 12 starts to the Postman.
Oh, a special Postman appearance here.
Postman! Postman, come here! Tell the neighborhood! Right, where to Shonda, Larry! Larry David! Not only are you a lousy Jew, but you're a lousy human being! He screws the wife of a man in a wheelchair! Shonda!
Maybe you should have given me some candy.
You're a lousy Jew!
Where we have a letter from John Gormley, who says, "Greetings, Alex and Av. Here's to a spectacular season 12. I suspect we will see faces in this season we've never considered will be back. As revealed in the episode 1 synopsis, it looks as if Auntie Ray will be reappearing. That's fantastic character bring back, especially after they referred to her in season 11. I'm glad they haven't completely written her off the show. This led me to a half-fleshed out theory on how this series could end. Generally, each season's final episode refers to something that happened in episode 1, which isn't specifically linked to the season's story arc. In season 11, it was nobody else could use Larry's master bathroom. Season 10 was the mixed-race couple having a baby. Season 9 was LD wishing spoonful of sugar. All minor things.
Wait, hold on. This is a brilliant thing that John has noticed. I've never heard this before.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, this is very cool.
Wow. Okay.
All minor things, but something I've observed them always including. I therefore think Auntie Ray may play a role in the final episode. The series could end with Larry and hence Leon losing all his assets and being evicted from Los Angeles as a consequence to whatever they go through this season, but then get taken in by the Black family in Georgia, who Larry originally brought in season 6. That would be wild.
But doesn't he go to Atlanta in episode 1?
Yeah.
Also, I thought they were Katrina, so weren't they from New Orleans?
They were from Georgia. Maybe now they've relocated because New Orleans was destroyed. The entire series of Curb has always felt like it's had two slightly different phases, with season 6 changing the dynamic. Cheryl divorcing Larry and the introduction of Leon altered the tone radically that season. Yeah, we've talked about this a million times, where Leon stepping in to fill the role in Larry's life was just completely opened the floodgates. Therefore, I think it would make sense for the second half of the show to tie back to the beginning of that phase inception with the Black family rather than having something happen in season 1, episode 1. The first half of the show has already earned a valid conclusion with the season 5 episode finale at the end.
Oh, good point.
This way, both phases of the show earn some kind of a beginning, middle, end. It doesn't make that season 5 finale stand out as a misplaced episode. Looking forward to more weekly Curb podcasts over the next few months. Hope you both enjoy the final season, whatever it brings.
All right, so wild theory from John here. First of all, kudos to John for noticing the extreme subtleties of these previous seasons referencing things really in episode cool. 1. And then, theorizing, not unreasonably, that perhaps there will be something similar here. What do you think? Do you think we're going to see Auntie Ray in the season finale? Or do you think just another episode?
I kind of like this theory. I kind of will be annoyed now if it happens, because then we'll be seeing it at the hallway because of John. He'll have spoiled it for us.
Okay.
I think it's cool. Do I think it's going to happen? No, but I think it's a cool thought. I don't think Auntie Ray will be in the series finale of Curb, but I dare to be proven wrong.
All right. Well, next week we will be 1/10 of the way through. We'll know so much more. Is there anything else for us to do, Av?
No, I think that's it. Other than just lick our chops and get ready. There's only 10 of these left, probably. You know, next time we speak, there's only going to be 9 left. So let's cherish them one week after the next. Soon they'll all be gone. And I really do think this is it for this time. Notwithstanding everything Jeff Schaefer says about how it's always the end, you know, HBO is marketing this as the final season for a reason. They've never done that before.
Yep. Cherish the curb. Cherish the curb. And hopefully it will be...
Pretty good. Get a life, Jews.